thought back on how you made it out, all the things that were binding you.
You rescued me. I should have never doubted you. How many of you know that he's a powerful God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ha, ha. Woo. That song excites me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is a powerful God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing is more powerful than our God. Hallelujah. I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. Hallelujah. Nothing is more powerful than our God. Hallelujah. And we have Force 259 over in the chat room, and Force 259 was saying, no matter how hard you think your day was, somebody had a harder day than yours. So if you still got Jesus in your day, you still have some sunshine left in your day. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah, and that's the truth. And, you know, there are no bad days. It's just bad situations that happen. But every day that God made is good. Glory to God, hallelujah. And every day that we're allowed to see that day is a good day. Glory to God, hallelujah. So I praise God on tonight, and I'm happy. My soul is excited. And for some reason, I'm just excited. Like, I'm super, super excited. And I praise God for it because, you know, today I was preparing for ministry that's supposed to go forth on Wednesday. And I'm just excited about it, just excited to be able to give somebody Jesus, excited to be able to give somebody, you know, offer them Jesus and say, look, try this Jesus. I tried him. You know, he healed me. He got me off of alcohol. He got me off of, you know, the stuff that I was doing, and he changed my life. He can change yours too. I'm just excited about that tonight. Like, I'm super, super excited, and I know how my husband feels now. When he talks about doing ministry, he gets so excited. People just are, they be like, wow, he's really, really, yes. I mean, that's something to get excited about when you're able to offer Jesus to somebody, to offer Jesus, whether they accept him or not. But just the fact that God has chosen us to do this, that he has given us a mandate to go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations. You know what I mean? It's like amazing that he's allowing us to do this, to go out to tell people that you can be renewed in your mind, that you can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I mean, like, every time I see a butterfly now, I think about that, being transformed. I think every time I see a butterfly, I think about being transformed, and I just love it. It's like, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Am I where I used to be? I thank God I'm not. Am I where I want to be? Not yet, but guess what? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. So let's just go ahead into the throne room. Let's go and approach the Heavenly Father right now and ask him to allow the Holy Spirit to take over this broadcast. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Father, Felicia, go ahead and pray.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we come to you right now, Father God, thanking you for allowing us to make it thus far, oh God. Lord God, we ask that you have your way, Father God, on this broadcast on today, Father God. Lord God, we ask that you bless every caller, every listener right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Those that will listen in the archives right now, Father. Lord God, we ask that you purge their hearts, Father God, that you open up their hearts to receive your word, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, no weapon that is formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises up against this ministry shall be condemned and cut off in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, we honor you, we glorify your holy name, Father God. Lord God, we ask that this word, Father God, be nourishment to our spirits in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you heal us and deliver us, Father God, through this teaching, Father God. Lord God, let us not walk away the same that we came in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And Lord God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the honor, which is due unto you. And it is so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like how she said that with authority, and it is so. In Jesus' name, and it is so.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And it is so, and I'm just going to have to agree with that. And it is so, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm excited about a couple of things, too. And, you know, last night I kind of had a situation with my head. I didn't even tell my husband about it, but I had a really, really severe pain in my head. And then I just felt like my head was going to explode. And now I was trying to come back. But guess what? Jesus is Lord. Every time it's time for the broadcast, the enemy always wants to try to attack me. But Jesus is Lord. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm peaceful. I'm excited. And tonight we're going to start the battlefield of the mind. Hallelujah. Yay. Battlefield of the mind. Because there's so many, there's so many people that are going through battles in their minds. And when the Lord showed me the scriptures this morning when we had the 6 o'clock prayer, and he showed me all of these scriptures where it talks about the covetousness and the idolatry and the fornication and the murders and thefts and covetousness. And I was like, Lord, you ain't lying about this battlefield stuff. It's a real battle that we have in our mind. But one of the problems that we have is that we don't fight the battle the right way. We don't fight the battle the right way. We try to fight the battle when it's natural, and it's not a natural warfare. No matter how we look at it, this is a spiritual warfare. And we have to train ourselves to fight in the spirit. We have to fight in the spirit. And 4259, you said keep the heart. You have, evangelist, and your faithfulness, and I'm trying, and I have to pray and make sure that God is with me, and I stay in Him, and make sure, because I don't want to be one of those people who preach the gospel and then find myself a castaway. I don't want to be found a castaway. I don't want to be one of those people that preach the gospel and then tell people about fornication and adultery and lying and backbiting and then find myself doing it. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. So I have to stay before the Lord, and I have to make sure I stay keeping myself, knowing that, you know, I'm still human, and I'm prone to do things that are not correct myself. And then when I find out that I'm doing something that is not correct, that I repent, I turn away from that thing, and I change my mind about it and then do something different. You know, and a lot of times people have problems in their lives, like the people that we're supposed to go and minister to on Wednesday. A lot of times we have problems in our lives because we won't even acknowledge that something is wrong. And that's the thing in a body of Christ that a lot of people do, too, is they won't acknowledge that something is wrong. And I'll tell you what, we're not saying acknowledge something is wrong so you can just be condemned and just say, oh, well, there can't nothing happen. No, but if you don't think there's a problem, you're not going to work on that thing. You know, if you don't think it's a sickness in your body and you really are sick, you're not going to work on that thing, and then chances are you're going to die because you didn't take care of it. And that's the same thing with our spiritual person. We have to make sure our spiritual person is being checked. Okay, we got to make sure our spiritual person is in line and in order and not messed up. We got to make sure we do that. But a lot of times we put Jesus last instead of first, 4259. We put Jesus last. And, And I had to get them quiet in there looking at the Olympics. I don't understand. you know, we have to take, she said we have to take the medicine as prescribed as well. We do have to take our medicine, and our medicine in the spirit realm is the Word of God. Our medicine in the spirit realm is prayer, and we have to make sure that we pray. We have to make sure we fast. We have to make sure that we seek God and make sure we feed our spirit man. If we don't feed our spirit man, that part of us is going to be dormant or it's going to die. We have to make sure we feed our spirit man. Just like we feed our natural man, we have to make sure that we feed our spiritual man, and we have to feed it the Word of God. The spiritual man don't thrive on television and, you know, all that foolishness that we do. Okay, the spiritual man thrives on spirit, and the Word of God is spirit. That's what the spirit man thrives on, okay? So we're going to go into the battlefield of the mind on tonight, and thank you, guests, for joining us on tonight. And we're going to go into the battlefield of the mind. I know that not everybody has the book, but I'm going to read it, and we're going to just stop at some points in this book. And Pastor Felicia is on the line with me on tonight from In Him Ministries. And if there's something that you hear me saying that you want to stop and talk about, let me know. Guest number 2529, thank you for joining us. And if you'd like to call, the number is 323-693-3054. Again, it's 323-693-3054. And if you do call in, if you'd like to ask a question or give a comment or even a praise report, you may press the 1, and it'll put you in the caller queue, and then we'll know that you have something that you'd like to share with us on the line. Okay, God bless you. So what I'm going to do is start with chapter 1. I don't know if any of you heard about The Battlefield of the Mind, but it's by Joyce Meyer. And I have permission, I have written permission from her to be able to use this book. That's why I'm doing it. I wanted to do it a while ago, but I would not do it until I got permission from her, because I don't want people thinking, oh, well, this chick is using her book, and she, you know, does Joyce know it? Look, Joyce might decide to call in, you know, the Blog Talk Radio, and I want to make sure. You know what I'm saying? She'll be like, oh, that sounds like my book. Okay, I'm giving her credit. This book, The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, okay? And I believe that this book was totally inspired by the Holy Ghost. I really do. Because when I read this book and I was going through some things, I'm trying to tell you, this book really, really helped me. The scriptures that are in this book, the testimonies that are in this book, and the things that she wrote in this book, I'm telling you, really, really helped me. And helped me with the battle that I was dealing with at the time. I'm telling you, if you could see the book that I have, the original book that I have, Battlefield of the Mind, it looked like it. I just marked up everything in the book because that's what I was going through at the time. And I'll tell you, God is working some things out in me because I understand that it's a spiritual battle that we're dealing with, okay? So let's start from chapter 1, and the first scripture she has in here is Ephesians 6, verse 12. Now, she reads from the Amplified Bible. What I'd like for you to do with Pastor Felicia is get the same scripture, but get it from the New King James Version.
Okay. Amen.
Because the Amplified Bible can be a little wordy, and I just want to make it a little simpler, but we're going to read it as she has it in the book, but we're also going to read it from the New King James Version, okay? The scripture says, "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere." Okay? We know that the King James Version says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Okay? What does the New King James Version say? Hello?
Okay. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickednesses in the heavenly places.
Thank you. So this is telling us that we're not wrestling a natural battle. So something's going on. I'm not supposed to be fighting Felicia. Okay, I'm supposed to be fighting in the spirit. Okay, because it's a spiritual battle. But let's read the book. From the scripture we see, from this scripture we see that we are in a war. A careful study of this verse informs us that our warfare is not with other human beings, but with the devil and his demons. Satan attempts to defeat us with strategy and deceit through well-laid plans and deliberate deception. It's my granddaughter calling on the other line. She's going to have to wait. I'm sorry. The devil is a liar. Jesus called him the father of lies and of all that is false. John 8:44. Okay? He lies to you and me. He tells us things about ourselves, about other people, and about circumstances that are just not true. He does not, however, tell us the entire lie all at one time. He begins by bombarding our mind with a cleverly devised pattern of little nagging thoughts, suspicions, doubts, fears, wonderings, reasonings, and theories. He moves slowly and cautiously. After all, well-laid plans take time. Remember, he has a strategy for his warfare. He has studied us for a long time. He knows what we like and what we don't like. He knows our insecurities, our weaknesses, and our fears. He knows what bothers us most. He is willing to invest any amount of time it takes to defeat us. One of the devil's strong points is patience. Now, the next point she makes is tearing down strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And that's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. Pastor Felicia, can you please read that out of the New King James Version?
Okay, 2 Corinthians, hold on, okay. Give me 1 second. Hallelujah.
Then, while she's trying to, do you have it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Amen.
Amen. Bringing every Amen. Thought. See, where's the thought? In our mind, right?
Amen.
That's where the battle is, in our mind. She says, through careful strategy and cunning deceit, Satan attempts to set up strongholds in our mind. A stronghold is an area in which we are held in bondage, in prison, due to a certain way of thinking. In this passage, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have the weapons we need to overcome Satan's strongholds. We will learn more about these weapons later, but right now, please notice that once again, we see that we are engaged in warfare, spiritual warfare. Verse 5
Amen.
Shows us clearly the location of the battlefield on which this warfare is waged. The Amplified Bible translation of this verse says that we are to take these weapons and refute arguments. The devil argues with us. He offers us theories and reasonings. All of this activity goes on in the mind. And I want to stop here. And this part that I'm about to say is not in the book, but I wanted to remind us about the Garden of Eden when Satan goes to Eve and he says, "Did God really say that?" He wants
right.
her to make her reason, to make her try to think about what God really said as if God didn't really say that. So he planted some doubt in her mind to cause her to think, well, did God really say that? You know,
right.
and she knew what he said. And she knew mm-hmm. what he said. But then she said, God said that you're not supposed to eat it or touch it. He said, thou shalt not
right.
eat. But common sense will tell you if you're going to pick up something to eat it, unless you're an animal, you're going to have to use your hand to pick it off the tree. You got to touch
right.
it to take it off the tree. So she took her reasoning to a whole nother level, and Satan planted that reasoning in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the thing started from, because he came to her and said, did God really say that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's the same thing he does to us today. God will say, go over there and minister to that person, and then Satan will come and say, please, did God really tell you to do that? Or you just think you all that. Don't go over there and say nothing. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then now the person that you were supposed to minister to was not ministered to because you didn't follow what the Lord said. You followed what Satan planted in your head, and then you started reasoning with it, and then you left that person, and now they haven't been ministered to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you know that that wasn't going to save their very life? Because we reason too much. The Lord said, get up and have 6 o'clock prayer and be like, no, Lord, it's too early. But why I got to get up at 6 o'clock? Or, you
yes,
know,
sir.
And I'm telling you, reasoning. And the enemy will put it in your mind. It don't take all of that. You can pray at 7 o'clock. Why you can't just pray at 7? You know, why you
mm-hmm.
can't just pray at 6:30? Why I got to be at 6 o'clock? Why you got to have a ritual and pray at 6 o'clock? You know, God ain't going to say stuff like that. He's not going to say stuff like that. If he says get up and pray, he wants you to get up and pray. There's a reason why he wants us to pray.
Amen.
And then we reason in our minds. We shouldn't reason in our minds about anything that God says to us, that the Holy Spirit says to us. There should be no reason, and there should just be obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It should just be obedience. And that's what happened
right.
in the Garden of Eden. Instead of her just doing what God said, okay, whether she was there in his presence when he told Adam or whether she wasn't, whether Adam said, this is what God said, don't do it, because Adam was there. Apparently, he was standing right there because he said she turned around and gave it to her husband to eat, and he ate it. So I didn't see any lapse of time between her taking that fruit and then him being somewhere else. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But she reasoned, and she went on ahead and ate it. And then Adam ate it. Now, he was the one. I wish I could have been there so I could have knocked him upside his head. Didn't God tell you, why are you eating this fruit? And he going to sit there and eat it anyway. And then men want to, you know, try to act like, well, women, y'all just have too much to say. Well, y'all gave y'all authority up in the Garden of Eden, for real, for real. Yeah. Don't get me started with this one. But guess what? We are supposed to be, you know, our husband is supposed to be over us or whatever the case is. But that's a whole other story. We're not going to talk about that right now, okay? So let us continue with the rest of what she's talking about. She says the mind is the battlefield. So, summary of the situation. Thus, so far we have seen that we are engaged in a war. Our enemy is Satan. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we know that's the truth. The mind is the battlefield. The devil works diligently to set up strongholds in our mind. He does it through strategy and deceit, through well-laid plans and deliberate deception. Deliberate deception. Deliberate deception. He is in no hurry. He takes his time to work out his plan. Okay, and we know that's the truth. He will pluck us and pluck us and pluck us and pluck us. He'll send his demons to pluck us. Now, let me just say this. Satan is not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. Okay, that is God. All right, God is the only one that's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Satan cannot be everywhere at one time. He is a spirit, but he is not God. Okay, he does not possess those qualities. However, when he was kicked out of heaven, when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, a third of his angels were kicked out with him. Okay? Amen. So I don't know how many angels it was that was kicked out, but it was a third of them. So however many a third of the angels were, they running around acting crazy and doing whatever he tell them to do so that he can get us and we could be all messed up. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Satan, he don't know our every thought. He don't know our every emotion. He doesn't know all of that. But what we do is we let him know by what we say out of our mouths and the things that we react to. Okay? When Satan went to Jesus in the Garden of Eden, what did Jesus do? He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. He didn't argue with Satan. He didn't have a temper tantrum. He didn't have an attitude shift. He said, it is written. Mm-hmm. And he said whatever the word said, and that's what he did. It is written. It is written, and that was it. And that's what we need to learn how to do. It is written, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I will not think that. I have the mind of Christ. Christ will not think that, and neither will I. In the name of Jesus. Right. That's the kind of stuff we got to train ourselves to do. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff we got to do. But we're so used to being in the flesh. We're so used to being in the flesh. Oh, my gosh, people running, saints of God running from the devil. When the Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And we, saints of God, running from the devil, huh? In the corner, cowering in the corner because the devil said boo. He'd probably be laughing at us. Oh, they said they're a saint of God. They said they're this, and they said that all I got to do is say boo, and they run. Why? Because we haven't trained our spirit man to walk in the spirit, to live in the spirit. That's why this praying thing is so important, because we got to take it to a whole nother level. And not just praying for the apostles and the pastors and the bishops and all of those people, but we got to go to another level in the Lord. Because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming out for a church without a spot or a blemish. That's what he's coming back for. And that's why we have to be prayed up. We have to make sure we pray for those that are in leadership. We have to make sure, because they are truly in a battle. When you're a pastor and you're out there before the people and you're dealing with all them demon spirits that come into church every Sunday, you know you got a battle going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all just peaches and cream. You got a serious battle going on. You're dealing with all them spirits. And guess what? If you're not prayed up and fasted up as a pastor, as a leader, if you're not careful, that stuff will jump off on you.
Sure
you
will.
You're trying to lay hands on people, and next thing you know, them things have jumped off on you because you ain't even right with God. You laying hands on people, and you out there doing what you want to do, and you wondering why you can't get yourself together because you done lay hands on somebody else, and them demon spirits jump from one person to another person because they got to go somewhere. You ain't prayed up, you ain't fasted up, and you wondering what's wrong. You wondering why your church is toe up. You wonder why you don't have any effect while you preaching. You wondering why there's really no anointing there. Why it's the same stuff every Sunday, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4259 says, it's spiritual warfare. And and pastors, and I'm talking from experience, because my husband and I, he was the pastor, I was his assistant, or whatever you want to call it.
All right, now.
And I have to say it like that because some people be like, there's no such thing as a co-pastor or assistant pastor. So I'm going to say whatever you want to call it. I was his helpmate, okay, in the church and at home, and still am, okay? But there was stuff that, I'm telling you, there was times where we just had to sit back and be like, okay, we're not praying enough. We're not praying enough. We got to get it together. We're not praying enough. We're not praying enough, okay? And the only reason, the reason why we're not pastoring now is because my husband fell down the steps and broke his hip. And now we, he's talking about getting back into pastoring, so we'll see what the Lord is going to do. But we're learning while we're sitting back about this battlefield. Okay, we're learning that just because you have the title of a pastor, that doesn't mean that you, you know, super spiritual, and just because you have that title, everything's going to be okay. You got to work harder. You got to work harder. Because you're responsible for these people's souls. What are you telling these people? How are you leading these people? Are you teaching these people how to pray? Are you teaching these people how to be renewed in the spirit of their minds? Are you teaching these people to live a holy life? Are you teaching these people to live righteously and walk righteously before a holy God? You know, these are things that we have to do as leadership, even as evangelists.
Yes.
Okay? Come on now. We got to go out and preach the good news and tell people about salvation so they can get born again. And we got to make sure that when we go out there and do that, that we, you know, we're storming the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness doesn't like that. The kingdom of darkness wants to do everything to keep us quiet because they don't want to be exposed. The kingdom of darkness doesn't want to lose any of their slaves. They don't want to lose any of their war, any of their prisoners. Okay, when you're a slave to sin, you're just a slave to the devil. And they don't want you to take anything, anybody out of their camp. They want to keep them in their camp. So you're going in the camp trying to take them out of darkness. What you think they're going to do? They're going to try to come up against you. And, I mean, it's just, it's natural. If I had somebody in prison and you just walk up and decide you're going to try to take them out of prison, me and you are going to have a problem. Like, how are you just going to walk up here? No, you got to go through a process. The enemy does not want anybody to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. So, therefore, he's going to try to do anything that he can to try to get us and keep us bound up. But we got to be ahead of him, and we got to be in prayer. We got to be in fasting. We got to see God like never before. We got to see God like never before. Even during this radio broadcast, we got to see God like never before. Praise God, Prophetess Kane. Prophet Kane, peace and blessings to you, too. Thank you so much for stopping by for a minute. And we're actually talking about battlefield of the mind, and we're talking about, you know, how the enemy tries to trick us and deceive us and do all these things, and how we have to be prayed up and how we have to make sure that we are in the spirit, because we're fighting. And I see up here in the chat room, Pastor Felicia, you said we don't know one third of how many angels. Every demon has an assignment, and we better make sure that we're on our assignment. We better we're on our assignment, and our assignment is to go out and teach all nations according to what Jesus said in the last chapter of the book of Matthew. We're supposed to go out and teach all nations, teaching them what Jesus said, okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be doing all of that. But if we're wrapped up in ourselves and wrapped up in what we want to do and how we want to do it and when we want to do it, then come on. We're giving ourselves right over to the enemy because we're being disobedient to God. Oh, well, I don't feel like doing that, God. I don't feel like preaching the gospel. I don't feel like telling anybody about Jesus. I don't feel like it because they don't deserve it. Who are we to tell somebody that they don't deserve to be saved? Because I was sinking deep in sin. Y'all know the song. I was a wretch undone. I was out there. I was messed up. And somebody had enough nerve to tell me, are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? And I was like, no, no, mm-hmm. I'm just going to church, but no, I'm not, nope. And then one day it happened because they kept asking me, and that's what we're supposed to do. But when you're battling in your mind and you can't even think straight, you're not thinking about telling anybody about Jesus because it's all about you. You can't even think straight. When the enemy comes in and starts telling a whole bunch of stuff in your mind and you keep rehearsing that thing over and over again, over and over again, he got you. He got
That's
you.
Right.
Look, I was in the kitchen last night. I'm going to tell on myself again. I was in the kitchen last night, right? I went in there and washed the dishes. And I was just a-complaining. I was just a-complaining about the kitchen because certain things I like my kitchen to be a certain way. And I was in there, and I was like, and I heard myself. I was like, will you please shut up? I was like, will you please shut up? You need to stop. Just stop. Why are you complaining? Cut it out. I was like, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I won't do it again. I repent. Girl, within seconds, I was complaining again. Just go on. I'm like, would you shut up? I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Just go on and wash the dishes. But it's a battle. It's a battle because my mind is thinking this, and then my mind is thinking it, and I'm rehearsing it in my mind. Now it's coming out my mouth. I'm rehearsing it in my mind. Now it's coming out my mouth. That's the same thing that happens with all kinds of sin. We rehearse it in our mind, and then we take action on it. Adultery. We sitting there thinking about so-and-so. Next thing you know, you out there doing it with somebody. If not
That's
the person
right.
that you were thinking about, you out there doing it with somebody. You think about stealing long enough, you're going to steal something. Whatever it is that you think about long enough, 9 times out of 10, if you don't get that thing in check, you're going to be out there doing it. That's why we have to pray the word of God. We have to make sure we put on the whole armor of God. We got to make sure we cover our minds with the blood of Jesus. We got to make sure we confess the word that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Because if we don't, we find ourselves stuck somewhere and wonder how we got there. But there's something that we have to do. The Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of our flesh by the Spirit. But there's still something that we got to do. We got to invite the Holy Spirit in. Come on, Holy Spirit, I invite you in. I need you to lead me and guide me. Okay, and we really gotta do that. There's something that we have to do. We sit around and act like, okay, well, now this, we said we got the Holy Ghost, so now the Holy Ghost is going to do everything. He's not going to overpower our will. He's not going to overpower us and make us do something. Then we would be robots. He's not going right. We have to do this thing out of a willing heart, and we got to do this thing because we love God. We got to do it because we love God. I mean, God is love. He loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die a death that he didn't deserve at all. He took our place. So we ought to love God so much that we just want to obey him because we love him. Not because we don't want to go to hell, but because we love him. And if we love God the way we say we love God, we're not going to live a lifestyle of sin. It's impossible. It's impossible. If I say I love my mother or my father or my husband, if I say I love my husband, I'm not going to go out there and cheat on my husband. I cannot say that, oh, baby, I love you so much, I just love you, and then go out there and sleep with another man. What kind of love is that? That's not love. And the same thing with God. How can we say we love him but then cheat on him? How can we say we love God and commit spiritual adultery? We got other gods placed up before us. I mean, all kind of stuff comes before the true and living God. But we don't want to say we are idolaters, but we really are. Anything that comes before God has to be an idol. But we don't want to address that. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to say, oh, no, yeah, I'm an idolater. We don't want to say that. But that's what it is. We're cheating on God. We're putting something else or somebody else before him. And he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, we're his bride. We are the bride of Christ. If we are the bride of Christ and we got another lover, something's wrong. Look back in the Old Testament. God said, I'm married to the backslider. He said, I'm married to the backslider. Hey, I'm married to the backslider. I'm married? Okay, he's married to the backslider. He's in the New Testament. He's married to us. We're the bride of Christ. We're the church. We're his bride. So if we step out and go out there and willfully sin, and Prophet Cain said it's a constant battle, if we willfully sin, how can we actually say we love God? See, that's another battle that we have in our mind. We say stuff with our mouth, but in our minds and in our actions, we do something totally different. I can say I love you all day long, but if I'm constantly stabbing you in the back, if I'm constantly do stuff to hurt you constantly, that's a lie. Somebody lying somewhere. I cannot say that I love you and I'm constantly doing stuff to hurt you. We can't say we love God and we constantly do stuff to hurt him. But see, we don't want to address the fact that we're liars.
My Lord.
Who want to be called the liar? I don't want to be called the liar. But if I say I love God and I'm living like the devil, I'm lying. I can't love God and serve the devil. It's impossible. Impossible. We can't say we love God only when he's giving us stuff. Oh, God, I love you. Thank you for giving me the new car. And then you don't talk to him no more until something on the car breaks down.
That's true.
Or you almost in an accident. You say, oh, Jesus. That's not loving God. But we don't want to deal with that. We don't want to talk about things like this. And these are the kind of things that we really need to be addressing because this is stuff that's going on in the body of Christ. Hey, God, how you doing? Talk to you later. When I need something, I'll be back. When something on my body's hurting, I'll call you then. When my husband or my wife not acting right, I'll call you then. My kids acting crazy, I'll call you then. Otherwise, we don't even talk to God. A lot of people, I'm not going to say everybody, because we have some prayer warriors. Yes, we do. But if more of us would pray,
my Lord.
If more of us would pray, and pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Oh, I'm going to pray for the fivefold ministry. I'm going to pray for the president, but I'm going to pray for me too. I'm going to pray that God keep his word before my eye and let me understand his word and let his Holy Ghost come and lead me and guide me and let his Holy Ghost help me mortify the deeds of my flesh, because every time you turn around, here comes something trying to try you. The enemy always lurking around somewhere, or have some of them demon spirits that was kicked out of heaven with him and lurking around somewhere to try to tempt you, try to corrupt you, try to get you to fall. That's why we got the Bible say, if you keep turning around, Paul says, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. We're not supposed to be ignorant to Satan's devices. And if we pray and stay before the Lord, we're not going to be ignorant to his devices. But see, we don't want to do that. We don't want to, you know, spend too much time going before the Lord. It doesn't take all of that. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't take all of that. So let's read a little further. Now, she tells a story. She tells a story about a husband and wife, and she's talking about Mary's side. Okay, so let's read Mary's side. Mary and her husband John are not enjoying a happy marriage. There is strife between them all the time. They are both angry, bitter, and resentful. They have two children who are being affected by the problems in the home. The strife is showing up in their schoolwork and behavior. One of the children is having stomach problems caused by nerves. Mary's problem is that she doesn't know how to let John be the head of their home. She is bossy. She wants to make all the decisions, handle the finances, and discipline the children. She wants to work so she will have her own money. She is independent, loud, demanding, and a nag. About now, you may be thinking, I've got the answer. She needs to know Jesus. She does know him. Mary received Jesus as her Savior 5 years ago, 3 years after she and John were married. Do you mean there hasn't been a change in Mary since receiving Jesus as Savior? Yes, there has been a change. She believes she's going to heaven, even though her bad behavior causes her to feel constant condemnation. She has hope now. Before she met Jesus, she was miserable and hopeless. Now she is just miserable. Mary knows that her attitude is wrong. She wants to change. She has received counseling from two people. She takes every opportunity to be prayed for and ask for victory over anger, rebellion, unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness. Why hasn't she seen more improvement? The answer is found in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, okay, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Mary has strongholds in her mind. They have been there for years. She doesn't even understand how they got there. She knows she shouldn't be rebellious, bossy, nagging, etc., but she doesn't know what to do to change her nature. It seems that she simply reacts in certain situations in an unseemly way because she can't control her actions. Mary can't control her actions because she doesn't control her thoughts. She doesn't control her thoughts because she doesn't even know that doing so is an option for her. There are strongholds in her mind that the devil set up early in her life. Satan begins to initiate his well-laid plans and to sow his deliberate deception at a very young age. In Mary's case, her problem started long ago in childhood. As a child, Mary had an extremely domineering father who often spanked her just because he was in a bad mood. If she made one wrong move, he would vent his anger on her. For years, she suffered helplessly as her father mistreated her and her mother. He was disrespectful in all his ways toward his wife and daughter. Mary's brother, however, could do no wrong. It seemed as if he was favored just because he was a boy. By the time she was 16, Mary had been brainwashed for years by Satan, who had told her lies that went something like this. Men really think they are something. They're all alike. You can't trust them. They will hurt you and take advantage of you. If you're a man, you've got it made in life. You can do anything you want. You can order people around, be the boss, treat people any way you please, and nobody, especially not wives or daughters, can do anything about it. As a result, Mary's mind was resolved. When I get away from here, nobody is ever going to push me around again. Satan was already waging war on the battlefield of her mind. Play those thoughts over and over in your head 100,000 times or more over a period of 10 years and see if you're ready to get married and become a sweet, submissive, adoring wife. Even if by some miracle you should want to be, you won't know how. This is the kind of mess in which Mary finds herself today. What can she do? What can any of us do in such a situation? Then she goes on to read the weapons of the word, which are found in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. It says, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here Jesus tells us how we are to win the victory over the lies of Satan. We must get the knowledge of God's truth in us, renew our minds with his word, then use the weapons of 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, to tear down the strongholds and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. These weapons are the word received through preaching, teachings, books, CDs, DVDs, conferences, and private Bible study. But we must abide or continue in the word until it becomes revelation given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Continuing is important. In Mark 4:24, Jesus says, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. I repeat, we must continue using the weapon of the word. Two other spiritual weapons available to us are praise and prayer. Praise defeats the devil quicker than any other battle plan, but it must be genuine heart praise, not just lip service or a method being tried to see if it works. Also, praise and prayer both involve the word. We praise God according to his word and his goodness. Prayer is relationship with the Godhead. It is coming and asking for help or talking to God about something that bothers us. It is fellowship, friendship, and an opportunity to express gratitude for all that God is and does. If you want to live an effective prayer life, develop a good personal relationship with the Father. Know that he loves you, that he is full of mercy, that he will help you. Get to know Jesus. He is your friend. He died for you. Get to know the Holy Spirit. He is with you all the time as your helper. Let him help you. I like that. Let him help you. Okay? Let me see. Learn to fill your prayers with the word of God. Psalm 9:10 says that we seek God on the authority of his word and the right of our necessity. The right of our need. So our weapons are the word used in various ways. We can pray the word, speak the word, sing the word, and study the word. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, our weapons are not carnal. They're not fleshly weapons. They are spiritual. We need spiritual weapons because we are fighting master spirits, yes, even the devil himself. Even Jesus used the weapon of the word in the wilderness to defeat the devil. See Luke 4, 1 to 13. Each time the devil lied to him, Jesus responded with, "It is written," and quoted him the word. As Mary learns to use her weapons, she will begin to tear down the strongholds that have been built in her mind. She will know the truth that will set her free. She will see that not all men are like her earthly father. Some are, but many are not. Her husband John is not. John loves Mary very much. Question, comment so far of anything that you heard? No? Okay. All right, let me read John's side of the story. Let's read John's side of the story. The other side of the story involves John. He, too, has problems that are a contributing factor to the situation he and Mary face in their marriage, home, and family. John should be taking his position as head of the family. God intends for him to provide spiritual leadership in his home. John is also born again and knows the proper order for his family life. He knows that he should not allow his wife to control the household, the finances, the children, and him. He knows all this, but he doesn't do anything about it except feel defeated and retreat into TV and sports. John is hiding from his responsibility because he hates confrontation. He prefers to take a passive attitude, thinking, well, if I just leave the situation alone, perhaps it will work itself out. Or he excuses himself from taking real action by saying, I'll pray about it. Of course, prayer is good, but not if it is merely a way of avoiding responsibility. Let me clarify what I mean when I say that John should assume his God-given position in the home. I don't mean that he should come on like Mr. Macho, ranting and raving about his authority. Ephesians 5:25 teaches that a man should love his wife as Christ loved the church. John needs to take responsibility, and with responsibility comes authority. He should be lovingly firm with his wife. He should reassure Mary that even though she was hurt as a child, as she releases herself to God through trusting him, talking about God, she will gain confidence that not all men are like her father was. John should be doing a lot of things, but like Mary, he also has mindsets that open the door for the devil to hold him captive. There is also a battle going on in John's mind. Like Mary, he was verbally abused in childhood. His domineering mother had a sharp tongue and frequently said hurtful things to him, things like, John, you're such a mess, you'll never amount to anything. John tried hard to please his mother because he craved her approval, as all children do. But the harder he tried, the more mistakes he made. He had a habit of being clumsy, so his mother told him all the time what a klutz he was. Of course, he dropped things because he was trying so hard to please that it made him nervous, and so he defeated his purpose. He also experienced some unfortunate rejection from children with whom he desired to be friends. This type of thing happens to most of us at some time in our lives, but it devastated John because he already felt rejected by his mother. And there was a girl whom he really liked in his early high school years who rejected him for another boy. By the time all of these things had tallied up in John's life and the devil had worked on him, building strongholds in his mind for years and years, John simply had no courage to be anything but quiet, shy, and withdrawn. John is a low-key type person who simply chooses not to make waves. For years, he has been having thoughts directed into him that go something like this. There is no point in telling anyone what you think. They won't listen anyway. If you want people to accept you, you just need to go along with whatever they want. Just leave things alone. Nothing you say will make any difference anyway. The few times he tried to stand his ground on the issue, it seemed that he always ended up losing. So he finally decided that confrontation wasn't worth the effort. I'm going to lose anyway in the end, he reasoned, so why even start anything? That's the end of John's story. So she says, what is the answer? And she reads Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. That's from the Amplified Bible. Okay? With John and Mary's conflicting problems, it is not too hard to imagine what their home life is like. Remember, I said there was a lot of strife in it. Strife isn't always open warfare. Many times, strife is an angry undercurrent in the home that everyone knows is there, but nobody deals with. And I'm stopping right there because I can attest to that. Strife isn't always an open warfare. Many times, strife is an angry undercurrent in the home that everyone knows is there, but nobody deals with. The atmosphere in their home is terrible. It is filled with tension, and the devil loves it. What will happen to John and Mary and their children? Will they make it? They are Christians. It would be a shame to see their marriage fail and their family ruined. Actually, though, it's up to them. Did we talk about that earlier? And said it's up to us. We have to do something. We want the Holy Spirit to do everything, but we have to do something. We have to take an active part in what is going on with us. We can't just say, okay, Holy Ghost, you work it out. No, we have to do something. On today, I asked the Holy Ghost to help me locate some little books that I wanted to give out, the Gospels of John that I have. And now I could have said, Holy Ghost, help me find these books, and I'd sit down on the couch and do nothing. But I had to get up. I had to look through some containers I have. I had to go in the closet and pull some things out to look for these books. And the Holy Ghost pointed me right to the box where it was, and I found the book. But I had to do something. I couldn't just sit there and let the Holy Ghost be like, okay, Holy Ghost, you just find it and just tell me where it is. I'm just going to go get it. I mean, he could have done it if he wanted to, but there was something that I had to do. I had to get up off my lazy self, get up and look for these books, and let the Holy Ghost show me where they were, and then he showed me. So I thank God for that, but it was something that I had to do. And we have to do something about the battle that's going on in our minds. We can't just sit back and just look at TV all day and think that the battle is going to be over because you're sitting there looking at TV. You can't go and get you a bottle of liquor, excuse me, and think that if you drink your problems away, everything's going to be okay. Understand, you can't go and get some weed and smoke your weed or take some pills and think that when you get finished off of your high, everything's going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Okay? We have to do something about it. We have to rebuke the devil. We have to take the word of God, just like the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of stronghold. Okay? Through the pulling down of stronghold. We have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When those thoughts come up, we got to cast those things down. We got to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We got to speak to ourselves and say, no, I have a new mind. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. The old Teresa has passed away. The old Teresa doesn't think these things anymore, saying, I don't belong to you anymore. I am no longer a slave to sin, but I am a slave of righteousness. See, but if we don't know these things, if we don't have the word of God in us, how can we pull the word of God out of us? How can the Holy Spirit pull these things out of us if there's nothing in there? We have to deposit the word of God inside of us. We have to get the word of God in us, no matter how, whatever it takes for you to do it. If you have to take the scriptures and write it out and post it on your walls all over your house, if that's how you have to do it, then that's how you have to do it. If you have to write the scriptures over and over and over and over again until it gets in your spirit, that's what you have to do. If you have to read the word of God out loud to yourself and record it and play it over and over again until it gets in your spirit, then that's what you have to do. Because it's a spiritual warfare, and the word of God is spirit, and the word of God is life. And we have to get this word of God in here because we are fighting a real battle with a real devil and with real demons.
Yes.
God didn't leave us ignorant. He told us exactly what we're fighting, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. He didn't leave us ignorant. He told us exactly what we're fighting. And then he also told us how to fight the battle. But every time you turn around, we want to go to the church and get in the prayer line. You know, we want somebody to lay hands on us, and it's supposed to be abracadabra, everything's supposed to be all right. And we're not supposed to do anything. Oh, I went to the church. Yeah, I went to such and such church and they lay hands on me and everything going to be all right. Then you turn around and you look and everything's still the same. Why? Then you want to blame the preacher. Well, I thought they laid hands on me, so everything's supposed to be okay. There's something you got to do. We got to change our thinking. We got to change our minds about things. And we got to get into this Word of God so tough. Like, I mean, come on. Some of us just have to abandon television altogether. Some of us have to cut off from our friends altogether. Some of us take the phone plug out the plug, take the battery out the phone, whatever you got to do. So we can get renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because there's too many distractions that we have. We have too many distractions. That's why we can't get delivered. Because we got too many distractions. We're not fighting the battle the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this because I lived it. I'm not saying this because Joyce Meyer wrote the book. I'm saying it because I agree with it because I lived it. We have to change our mind. We have to change our thinking, and we have to do something. Do you think my body and my natural self wants to get up and pray in the morning? Of course
right.
not.
Mm-hmm.
My body be thinking all. My mind will think all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you ain't got to get up. You don't have to get up this early now. It don't take all of that now. Come on now. You can pray when you go to work. And you know that's a lie from the pit because when you get to work, there's all kind of distractions there, and you don't even have time to pray when you're at work most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 50,000 things going on at work that keep you from praying, and then when the end of the day comes, you're like, oh, man, I didn't pray. Huh? Oh, you remember this morning? You didn't think that was necessary to get up at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you, Prophet Kane. Thank you for stopping by. And welcome to guest 2624. Thank you for stopping by, too. I'm just saying that, you know, we got to make sure that we know what we're doing. All right? We got to we gotta make sure that we know what we're doing. I don't know. Sometimes we just act a little cuckoo. And we don't. We have the weapons right here in our face in the Bible. We have the weapons right here in our mouth. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and we won't use it. And we wonder why every time we turn around there's something crazy going on because we have weapons and won't use it.
Yeah.
That's like countries going at war with each other, and one country has their weapons and the country has nothing. And then you wonder why you got defeated. You weren't prepared. You went into the battle with nothing.
My
and
Lord.
And you wonder why you got defeated?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even have to ask the question. You didn't have on the helmet of salvation. You didn't have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is, let me tell you something. This is something that gets me right here. The Bible clearly tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God.
Yes.
It's a sword. If you know anything about a sword, if you ever get cut by a sword, you're going to know you've been cut. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a flesh wound. You cut. And spirit understands spirit. Satan ain't scared of our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Those demons that was cast out of heaven with him, they're not scared of our flesh. This is a spiritual warfare, and we can't fight a spiritual warfare in our flesh. We got to come out of our flesh. We got to do this battle the right way in order to win the battle. We can't just say, oh, I plead the blood of Jesus and walk away and don't do nothing else. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something. Jesus spoke the word, and he spoke it with authority. He didn't stutter. He didn't act like he was scared. He sat in that garden and he spoke the word. And Satan didn't leave him the first time. He came back again. He didn't leave him the second time. He came again. And the third time he left, but the Bible said he left for a season.
Yeah.
See, we think when we talk to the devil and we rebuke Satan and bind the devil and all this stuff, that he gone and he ain't never coming back. He left for a season. And that's the same thing he does for us. He leaves for a season. Okay, yeah, it seemed like you got over that, but he coming back. You did get over that, but he coming back. You did go over that, but he coming back. But see, you got to be girded up. We got to be girded up. We got to have our clothes on. We can't be going into battle naked.
With
all of our heart is exposed. You know, if you get a wound in your heart, you gone. Your lungs are exposed because you don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. You have on nothing to cover yourself. You don't have on your helmet, so they shoot you in your head. Come on. You got to be prepared for the battle. And God's not just sending his word for nothing. He's sending his word because he wants us prepared for the battle, whatever the battle is. He wants us prepared. He would not have us to be ignorant. He wants us to put on the whole armor of God. He wants us to recognize that we're fighting a spiritual battle.
Yes.
And he wants us to understand that Satan wants us defeated. He wants us to be defeated, but we have the victory through Christ Jesus. Not on our own strength. We have the victory through Christ Jesus. Not on our own strength. We can't do it in our flesh. We can't do it on our own strength. We got to depend on the word of God. We got to depend on the Holy Spirit. We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to study this word like never before. I was telling my best friend how God gave me a word study in 2009. And he just showed me the book yesterday. Just over and over again showing me these things in the word of God. And we are truly in a battle. It says evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. This stuff comes out of us. All these things, all these evil things come from within, and that's what defiles us. Because you're sitting there, you're thinking on evil thoughts, that's something you got to sit and meditate on. You got to think about that thing. Most people don't go out and commit adultery. Okay, I'm just going to go do it. You done thought about that thing for a minute. Most people that murder, that guy that did all that shooting up there in Colorado, he planned that thing. He thought about that thing for a while. He had a deliberate tactic that he had to go forth and do all of that he did over there in Colorado. So a seed was planted in his head at some point. And he thought on that thing, and then he went on and acted on that thing. And then he executed that thing. He executed that thing. I mean, it was a well-laid-out plan.
Yes, it was.
A well-laid-out plan. My question is how he got in a movie theater like that anyway. How he get in there and nobody stopped him and nobody called the cops and nobody did. How he do that anyway? But that's a whole other story. But do you see what I'm saying? He thought about that thing somewhere. When you steal, when I stole, I thought about it. And then I stole it. Okay? Covetousness, wickedness, that's stuff that you think about. Look at all of this stuff. You got to think about all of this stuff before you do it. And I like to go back to King David. Even though the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. When David, before David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he could have stopped that thing, but he saw her with his eyes. Then he thought about it. He was like, who does she belong to? He knew who she belonged to and still went on ahead and slept with her. Still did it because he thought about it. He looked. It was the lust of his eyes, the lust of his flesh, and the pride of life. Now, this is a man. We're talking about a man after God's own heart. At any point, he could have not given in to his flesh and slept with Bathsheba, considering he had all those other women in his home. Why Bathsheba? Why you had to sleep with her? You see all the hell he caused in his house because of what he did? You see how the generations were cursed because of what he did? Son raped the daughter. Son killed the son. Son tried to kill him. Did you see all that stuff that happened?
Amen.
But see, we don't think about that when we sin, when we think about things and then we act on sin. And the scripture says, let no man say when he is tempted of God. Because when a man is tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Yeah.
That's something that we done thought on. So we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. When I used to curse people out, I used to think about what I was going to say most of the time. Sometimes it would just come up because that was in me. And I was just evil and nasty, so I'd cuss you out in a heartbeat. But a lot of times I would play in my strategy. I had my strategy, and I would let me see so-and-so, and this is what I'm going to say. I thought about that thing, and then I acted on it. Really, honestly. When I committed adultery, I thought about it before I went and did it. My reasoning, well, you know your husband just not treating you right. You know you deserve better than that girl. Going out there and get you some out there with somebody else. Just as dumb knowing you're not going home with that person, because that person got a wife or, you know, a significant other. But the battlefield of the mind, the mind's telling you one thing because Satan has interjected some kind of foolishness into your head. And you sitting there playing it over and over. Yup, you know he ain't treating me right. Yup, I do deserve better. Yup, the grass is greener on the other side. Then you get on the other side, you realize it was AstroTurf the whole time. Now you're dealing with stuff that you didn't have any business dealing with, but because you didn't transform your mind with the word of God, because you didn't beat your flesh under, like Paul said, I beat my flesh under. I keep my flesh under. He murdered his flesh. So he wouldn't sin against a holy God. But see, we don't do that. We just let our flesh do what it want to do. And then we want to say to God, oh, well, God, you know I'm only human. Go ahead with that. He's not taking that kind of excuse from us. He's not taking that kind of excuse for us. He know. We can't sham God. We can't sham God. God knows us. Good evening to God's remnant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Amen.
And God's remnant says, don't forget who the mom and dad was of Solomon. And repentance is so important. As David did, however, there were consequences. And you're right, God's remnant. And this is one thing that we have to say is that repentance and saying I'm sorry is not the same thing.
That's right. Amen.
And a lot of people get stuck on that, saying I'm sorry. Saying I'm sorry and repentance is not the same thing. When we repent, we change our mind about that thing and stop doing it.
That's true.
We stop doing it. We get a new way of thinking about that thing. We say, I don't want to do that anymore because I don't want to hurt my God. I don't want to hurt him. I want to hate sin. That's what my prayer is, Lord. Lord, I want to hate sin like you hate it. I don't want to be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. Lord, I repent. I turn away from that thing. I will not commit adultery again in the name of Jesus. I will not fornicate again in the name of Jesus. I will not steal again in the name of Jesus. I will not lie again in the name of Jesus. If you got to stand in the mirror and look at yourself and say, you know what, Teresa, you will not backbite again in the name of Jesus because you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, old things are new. Behold, all things are made new. We got to stop being hypocrites and stand on the word of God and do what the word of God say. Stop being actors. Stop being actors.
Amen.
That's what a hypocrite is. It's an actor. There's so many actors in the church right now. It's not even funny. Folks running up to the altar saying, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And then as soon as you leave out of church, you're doing the same thing. And if you're not doing it as soon as you leave out of church, you're doing it before the week is out. Because you're sitting there thinking about it and meditating on it. Well, God understands. God's not not dealing with that. God's not using that as an excuse. Well, God understands because he does understand that our heart is wicked.
Yes. Who can know it?
But if we turn ourselves over to the true and living God for real, and begin to cry out to him and say, God, I love you. God, I love you. I command this flesh to die in the name of Jesus. And I speak to my spirit man. And spirit man, you are holy. You are righteous. And you will serve God. Honey, somebody going to die. The flesh going to die. And the spirit going to come alive. That's the only thing that can happen. But if you don't. If we don't pray, if we don't fast, if we don't read the word of God, the spirit man going to lay dormant, just lay there. And then the flesh is going to take over and all kind of craziness is happening. But see, then we think that because we're speaking in tongues, because the ground didn't open up on us, because we woke up today, you know, because God still sent the blessing our way, that everything's cool. No. It's a battle. We got to fight this battle, and we got to be real about it. We got to be real about it. Yeah. We got to be real.
Amen.
David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's what we got to be. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, Lord, in your house than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. If you read all throughout this New Testament, the Bible tells us don't even eat with those that have been named as fornicators. Don't even eat with them. Don't even eat with them. You say, well, that's kind of harsh. Don't even eat with them. Why? Birds of a feather flock together.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that whoever is doing, if you're not built up and strong in the Lord, you're going to look around and you're going to be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, I don't commit adultery. I don't commit fornication. But you a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's still not the same thing as what they did, but sin is sin to God. You're opening the door and letting Satan in. Get out. Don't let Satan think it's okay for you to hang around with people that are against the word of God. Anybody that's against the word of God and living against the word of God is an enemy of God. So you want to be found hanging out with the enemy?
My Lord.
You want to be found hanging out with God's enemy? Somebody that you know is deliberately sinning and you want to keep hanging out with them.
Yeah.
So now you're an enemy of God because you're being disobedient. You hanging out with them. Oh, well, then now you're being too harsh, Teresa. Now you're being too harsh. I am? Okay, well, you read the word of God for yourself.
My Lord, yeah.
Shun the very appearance of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Shun the very appearance of evil. Before I started working, before that, I remember I used to be a staunch Maury fan. You know Maury on TV, You Are Not
mm-hmm.
the Father. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That show. I used to watch that show religiously. I would watch that show more than I would go to church. I would watch that show more than I would read my Bible. I would just watch that show because to me it was funny. You already knew what the outcome was, but it was just funny watching these shows. And then one day the Holy Spirit had to speak to me and say, why are you looking at that?
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing but fornication and adultery, lying,
mm-hmm.
deception, sin. That's all it is. And you sitting there watching it. Then I wonder why I was having all these crazy dreams. Because that's
mm-hmm.
what I was putting inside of me. I was putting that stuff inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Having dreams, sex dreams, all kind of crazy dreams. And wondering why they wasn't going away. Because I was feeding my flesh man this foolishness. And
mm-hmm.
not even giving any attention to my spirit man at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I was like, you know what? I will not. I refuse. I refuse. This will not be one in my home in the name of Jesus. I'm not looking at it anymore. And my flesh wanted to rebel. My flesh wanted to rebel. I was like, you know, it's no harm. That's that thought that the enemy places in your mind. You know there's no harm in watching that. It's just, you know, it's not real anyway. Whether it's real
mm-hmm.
or not, it's against God. And I don't have no business looking at that. I don't have anything that I have no business placing my eyes on anything that is against God. Because
mm-hmm.
whatever you look at, whatever you meditate on, that goes into you, that goes inside of you. And next thing you know, you're acting crazy and you're wondering why.
Because
mm-hmm. I remember years and years and years ago, I was in Germany. And it was this pastor, and I thought he was kind of far out there, but now when I think about him, I'm like, he wasn't too far off the mark, really. The people in his church, they couldn't watch TV. They couldn't read the newspaper. They couldn't do anything. You hear what I say? And he used to
uh-huh.
tell me all the time, set no evil before your eyes. I was like, yeah, you tripping. You going too far. You're not going to come to my house and tell me I can't watch TV. There's really something wrong with you. I believe it is. You're not going to come tell me that I can't watch TV in my house. So you know what I did, and I really had to repent, but it was years later that I repented and asked God to forgive me for that. Know what I did? I turned the TV on when he was there. Ain't that evil? That's just evil.
Amen.
I turned the TV on. Somebody should have whooped my behind right then. I turned the TV on. Just evil. You're not going to tell me I can't watch TV in my house. And I turned this TV on. That was just evil. And I did have to ask God to forgive me for that. And he was looking at it out the corner of his eyes. He sure was. I just wanted to see what he was going to do. Just crazy. And I was supposed to be a Christian. And I tempted my brother like that. Turned the TV
mm-hmm.
on. battlefield of the mind. I wasn't putting no holiness in there. I wasn't putting the word of God in there. So I was just doing what I wanted to do in my flesh, still saying I was a child of God, still saying I belong to God, still saying I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, still out there doing all kind of stuff. I was a liar. Just lying. Trying to impress people in the church, but at home, secretly, I was a whole nother person. That's why now I expose myself. I expose myself. I look. This is what I did. Or this is what I'm dealing with right now. Pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for me. Okay. Some things I don't need people to help me pray about. Some things I can do that. Pray for it myself and things will be okay. But some things are strongholds, and you just got to be like, you're not going to get a stronghold. And my friend, Iron, I call her Iron. I tell her, that's my best friend and my sister in the Lord, and I tell her, I say, you know what? She always says, don't let the devil get a foothold, because if he get a foothold, then he's going to have a stronghold.
Don't open up the door
and let the enemy in. Don't crack the door and let him in. Don't invite him in any way, whether it's through your eye gate, your ear gate, no, whatever gate you got, keep your gate closed.
Amen.
Keep your gate closed to Satan and open up your spirit man to the true and living God. Stop following after the God of this world. Stop allowing the God of this world to lead you by your nose and have you doing all kinds of things. We are not possessed by the devil. Okay, he comes to tempt us. He comes to bring things into our mind. It's up to us whether we're going to rehearse that thing or not.
Amen.
Unless you are possessed. And if possessed as a Christian, there's a problem. Because how you get possessed? That means you open up the door to Satan and let him in. You didn't try to chase him out. You didn't try to run him out with the word of God. You didn't try to pray him out. Well, how are you possessed and you're a Christian? How you oppressed by the devil and you belong to Jesus Christ? He died to set the captives free. How is it that you are oppressed? Because what is it that you're not doing?
Amen.
We need to change our thinking. The battlefield is right here in this noggin, right here. Some of us got real big heads. So we got a real big battle going on in our heads. We rehearse stuff over and over again. Yeah, you know what she did to me? She looked at me funny in church Sunday, so I ain't going back there. What?
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again. We keep rehearsing it. Now the story done changed to something else. Now it done got deeper and worse now because we rehearsed that thing over and over again. So if we do happen to go back to the church, we looking at her all cock-eyed, face all twisted up. I can't stand her. Because you don't know what she was going through when she looked at you like that. Something was going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
But the battlefield in our mind, Satan will put things in our mind. He'll bring thoughts to our mind. Those imps, those devils, those demons, those principalities, those rulers of darkness and the spiritual wickedness in high places, those principalities, they come and they'll bring things to your mind, and it's up to us to take the word of God. The sword of the spirit, the sword of the spirit. And cut those things up, cut them up, and cast them out in the name of Jesus. But we got to know the word. We got to know the word. What does the word of God say? He said you used to be like that. You got to tell yourself, I used to be a liar. I used to be a thief. I used to be this, and I'm not that anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yes, God.
Colossians 3:1-11 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. But see, you got to tell yourself that. Oh, God bless you, Minister Desiree. Thank you for joining us. Then look at this as Galatians 5. It tells you what all is going on in your flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. You got to tell yourself, no. I've been set free. I am a child of the Most High God. I have been set free because Jesus went to Calvary for me. And when Jesus went to Calvary for me, he set me free. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. No, I will not fornicate. I will not be unclean. I will not participate in inordinate affection. I will not participate in covetousness. I will not be an idolater. I will not do any of this stuff in the name of Jesus because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know that and you don't practice that, what? I don't want Jesus to come back and don't take me with him.
Amen.
I don't want him to do that. I don't want him to go back and leave me here because I wanted to be disobedient and I didn't want to fight the battle the real way. I don't want Jesus to leave me back here and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You preach to everybody else. You preach to everybody else, and now you being cast away? Uh-uh.
No, not anymore.
Jesus said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation 16:15. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't want that. I don't want to be found out there, outside the gate, because I didn't want to obey the word of God.
No.
Saying you cannot tempt me with adultery anymore because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't do that anymore. I am no longer a slave to sin. This is why I tell people to read the book of Romans.
Yeah.
Read Romans 6. Read Romans 8. Read Romans chapter 12. And begin to talk to yourself. Whatever Romans says, begin to tell yourself that I'm not this anymore.
That's right.
I'm not this anymore. I am born again. I am born again. Jesus said you must be born again. I am born again. And a born-again person no longer lives that way. No longer lives that way. I'm born again. I've been set free. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. People say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That old Teresa don't live here anymore. And every time she tries to come back, you got to tell her, no, that old Teresa don't live here no more. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That old stuff has passed away. Do I have to still talk to myself? Yes, I do. Do I still have to tell myself to sit down and shut up? Yes, I do. Do I still have to rebuke myself? Yes, I do. Do I still have to pray like never before? Yes, I do, and I got to pray more. I think I'm praying now, I got to pray more. I think I'm reading the word now, I got to read the word more.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm doing that is right, I got to do it more. I got to do it more because it's never enough. Because the enemy's never going to back off. He's going to back off, but he's going to come back. He's going to back off, but he's going to come back. But guess what? I want to be holy before a true and living God. He said, be holy, for I am holy. I want to be holy. Whatever that means, I want to be holy. Whatever that means, I want to be holy. I want my talk to be holy. I want my walk to be holy. I want my thoughts to be holy. I want to keep my body holy.
Yes,
I don't want to give anybody an occasion to sin by what I do.
Yes.
Just because I'm free in Christ Jesus, I don't want to give anybody else occasion to sin by what I do. I don't want to bring shame on my God by my lifestyle. Yes. I want to be holy. I want people to be able to come to the Lord because of my behavior towards God. I don't want them to run away and say, oh, I don't want to be a Christian. You see the way she acts?
Yeah. Amen.
But most of all, above everything else, I want God to be pleased with me. I want him to be pleased with me. That whenever I go before his throne, I don't have to worry about him not hearing my prayer. I don't want my prayer to be like a rubber check and hit the ceiling and bounce back down. I want God to hear my prayer. But I want to be holy. I want to be living right. Whatever I do behind closed doors, I want God to be pleased with it. Whatever I do inside the church building, I want God to be pleased with it. Whatever I do in the store, at my job, wherever I am, I want God to be pleased with it. Whatever it is, I want to be right. I want to be right. But see, we got to get this mindset together. We got to get our mindsets together. And our flesh doesn't want to do what is right. The Bible says in Mark 7, verses 20 to 23, and he said, talking about Jesus, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. See, this is what the stuff you think on. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man.
Yeah.
All these things come out, these things that come out, these things that we meditate on. And I believe it's in the book of Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words that I say and let the words that I, the things that I think on, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let my thoughts be pure thoughts, Lord God. Let my thoughts, the things. But how are they going to be pure thoughts if I'm sitting and looking at Mari all day long? How are my thoughts going to be pure if I'm looking at him all day long?
All right, now.
If I'm looking at Jerry Springer, how are my thoughts going to be pure when I'm looking at this lust and this filthiness and these lies and deceit all day long? But my thoughts going to be pure? No. But when you get rid of something, you got to replace it with something else. So I'm getting rid of that. Now I need to replace it with the word of God. I need to feed my spirit, man. I need to begin to learn how to use my weapons in the spirit so that this battlefield of my mind don't have to always be so tough. I got to get, look, Satan, I'm not running from you no more. I got the weapons. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. I know it now. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down the stronghold. I pull down this stronghold of lust. I pull down this stronghold of hate. I pull down this stronghold of deception in the name of Jesus. And I cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring it into captivity, everything.
Yes.
See, you got to say that thing, and you got to mean it when you say it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say it like you mean it. You can't act like, oh, well, you know, it's just the devil. He can't do nothing to me because the blood covers me. You better open up your mouth and speak the word of God.
Yes.
That's what he gave it to us for. If Jesus had to use the word of God, how come we don't? We got to use the word of God. We got to follow his example. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, what they said in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. But if you don't speak the word of God, if you don't put the word of God in your spirit, the word is nowhere near you. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will. Jesus said, abide in me, because apart from me, you can do nothing.
Well, right now.
We got to abide in him.
Yes.
And we got to learn this word of God so we can do spiritual warfare. There's so much going on in this world. There's so much. We got to make sure that we're girded up with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our phone number is area code 323-693-3054. Area code 323-693-3054. If you'd like to call, please call and press the 1. You'll be placed into the caller queue, and I'll know that you have something that you'd like to share with us. Please do so. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I like feedback. if you can call, please dial 323-693-3054. I'm trying to say it slow because I really talk fast sometimes. And Pastor Felicia, you're on the line, so if you have anything that you'd like to expound on, anything that you'd like to add to this, please do so.
Amen. First of all, I thank God, you know, for the teaching on today. Amen. And truly, you know, Satan, he always tries to come to hinder, amen, to keep you in bondage with different thoughts. You know, when you were talking about those scenarios between Mary and I forget the guy's name. I can relate with both of them in some areas. And John, both of them in certain areas of how the enemy, you know, how you, like, for instance, when John was talking about, you know, he always tried to please his mother, but nothing he did, you know, it still didn't matter. And I felt that way, you know, at times. I still feel that way sometimes, or, you know, certain things happen and be like, well, I ain't going to say nothing, because if I say something, nothing's going to be happening, you know. So sometimes we have to, you know, we get in that mindset, but as soon as those thoughts come, we got to rebuke them immediately. Amen. We got to take charge and take authority over them as soon as they come, so that we don't, you know, like when the enemy brings maybe a spirit of lust or, you know, different things our way, you know, that we don't fall into the temptation of those sins. Amen. So, you know, instead of pondering it and instead of meditating on it and wonder what, you know, it'll be like, amen, we got to take those thoughts captive immediately. Amen. Because if not, it'll enter into our heart, and that which is in our heart, we will do. Amen. So I just thank God for the teaching. Amen. And it's so true as far as, you know, the Word of God. We have to fight back with the Word of God. We have to fight, you know, in the spirit. Amen. We can't fight using the devil's stuff. Amen. So we have to, you know, go into the spiritual warfare. And we have to remember to keep our armor on at all times. You know, a lot of times we want to take certain stuff off, amen, but we have to keep the whole armor on, and we have to make sure that we keep it on at all times, amen, because even, you know, sometimes I sleep and the enemy is there, you know, even in my sleep. So with that being said, amen, make sure that, you know, you keep your armor on, stay prayed up, stay in the Word of God. That is very important. It's very vital that we stay in the Word of God. It's very vital that we stay in His presence. Amen. And it's very vital that we know the words of, we know how to fight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something else. We got to stop being double-minded.
All right, young.
That's a battle right there. Being double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute. The Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable. And all
no,
of us. Unstable. So how we think we're going to get something from God and we can't even we can't even be stable in our mind? And the Bible says in the same book, in James, it says, let no man say when I'm tempted of God. God, if you're tempted with any sin, God is not tempting you.
Amen.
Because God cannot be tempted with evil, the Bible says, and neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, does what? It brings forth death.
Yeah. Death.
The wages of sin is death. So we can't say, God, you know, you tempted me. Now! Don't even open up your mouth to say something like that. Don't do that. Number one, God not stupid, okay? Number two, God knows that if you sin, you did it. Most of the time you did it willfully unless, again, you're possessed or oppressed by the devil. But when we sin because we wanted to. If I go out there and do something right now, I do it because I wanted to. Same thing with the Word of God. If I read the Word of God, I read the Word of God because I want to. But we got to fall in love with God. I'm telling you, this is what God is impressing me on so bad in my heart. He's saying we got to fall in love with Him. We got to love God. When we begin to love God, we'll begin to do what He says. We'll begin to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We'll begin to love Him and obey Him. We'll begin to abide in the vine. And then we'll begin to bear much fruit. Wonder why you're not bearing no fruit. Why are you not bearing any fruit? Because you're not abiding in the vine. Abide in me and I abide in you. You can't do anything apart from him anyway. If you abide, and if we begin to abide in the word like we're supposed to, man, we will have victory after victory after victory after victory. We won't be having sob stories to tell people anymore. Them sob story days are over.
Yeah.
Why? Because we know how to fight the enemy. We know how to fight the enemy. Certain things, you know, Satan just can't tempt you on anymore. He just can't bother you anymore on certain things. But certain things, he'll come in, and that thing seems like it'll just floor you. But when God said get up and pray, you ain't want to pray.
That's
he was
true.
Trying to prepare you, but you didn't want to get up and pray. Because you
true.
Enjoyed the pleasure of sleep for a little while longer. Now the battle is upon you, and you're not prepared because you wouldn't pray when God told you to.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to give you the plan of attack, but you wouldn't pray. You
mm-hmm.
wouldn't read the word. You wouldn't cover your house. You wouldn't cover your mind. You wouldn't cover your body. You wouldn't cover. So now the enemy done got in because you wanted to sleep a little bit longer.
My Lord.
And I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself because myself don't want to get up and pray.
Mm-hmm. I believe we all get there. Amen. I've been there.
Don't want to get up and pray. This just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And it really all it boils down to is you're really trying to sleep for 5 or 10 more minutes because you know you got to get up and go to work anyway. I'm talking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So how much more sleep can you get in 5 minutes when you got to get up anyway? It's just a trick of the enemy. So you got to tell the enemy, shut up, I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. Satan, I rebuke
Amen.
You in the name of Jesus. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. This is the will of God for my life. I will not be defeated. I will not be beat down. I will not be cast down. No, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep getting up because I'm going to put my flesh under subjection. Then he's going to leave you alone for a season, and it's not going to be a problem for you to get up and pray. But we got to do something. We got to do something. Minister Felicia, Minister Desiree, you're here in the chat room. If you have anything you'd like to say, you can call in. Area code 323-693-3054. If you have any feedback, any questions, or any comments, we'd be glad to receive them. Just call that number and press the 1. Just
mm-hmm.
call that number and press that 1. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Let me see what's going on over here. So we have 16 minutes remaining, and I thank God for this Battlefield of the Mind book. And as the days go on, we're going to just continue to read these chapters, and we're going to be blessed. We're going to read the Word of God. We're going to confess the Word of God, and we're going to be obedient, and we're going to be blessed. We're going to do what thus saith the Lord, and we're going to be blessed. But we're going to fall in love with God so much. We're just going to fall in love with him that nothing's going to distract us. We're just going to fall in love with God. That's my prayer. That's what I want. I want to fall in love with God so tough that whatever he tells me to do, that I'll do it. And don't question him. Don't ponder it in my mind. Just do it. Whatever it is, just do it. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to be. Anybody listening to this broadcast, I know nobody in the chat room listening right now is unsaved, but to anybody who may be listening to this broadcast in the archive, I want to speak to you right now, and I want to talk to you just a little bit about a man named Jesus. And the reason why I want to talk to you about this man named Jesus is because he said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. He didn't say that you should be born again or, you know, if you want to be born again. He said you must be born again. And I want to offer you this Jesus, and I want to offer you the salvation that he died for. See, there was a point in time in my life where I wasn't born again, and I didn't want to have anything to do with God. I didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I didn't want to have anything to do with the Holy Ghost. I wanted to do what I wanted to do because it was fun. And
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to do it. But I'm telling you, when I got to know Jesus, I'm telling you, and I'm still learning about Jesus, and I'm still learning about what he's done for me, and what Isaiah chapter 53 means about how he was wounded for my transgressions and how he was bruised for my iniquities and how it pleased God to bruise him and wound him, how it pleased God. Like, I listened to the lady on the radio the other day and how she just explained it, how it pleased God to bruise his son for me. For me. Oh, my God. When you sit and think about how, I mean, what? The blood of the sheep and the blood of the goat and the blood of the physical lamb, the actual animal lamb, it wasn't good enough for my atonement. Mm. It wasn't good enough for your atonement. So God wrapped himself in a body and came down here in the form of Jesus.
Yes.
And he got up on that cross for you and for me. But before he got on that cross, he took a beating. He took a beating so tough that he was unrecognizable. It was so tough. He took that beating. They pulled his hair out of his beard. They spit on him. They beat him. They did all of this.
Jesus.
To our Savior, so that we might have the right to the tree of life. He left his throne. He had a throne in glory, and he left it to come down here to save a wretch like me, to save somebody like me who just lived in sin and had pleasure in sin. He did it for me, and he did it for you. He did it for you, too. Why? Because God's love, God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to be separated from him. He loves us so much that he wants to commune with us. And he wants to do it eternally. He wants to do it eternally. So Jesus came, and he allowed them to beat him. Do you hear what I said? He allowed them, because at any time he could have called legions of angels to come and rescue them. But he laid his life down for us. He chose to do it. He laid his life down for us so that we might have the right to the tree of life, so that our names can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because the Bible says in the Book of Revelation that if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
So he came, Jesus came to set the captive free. Jesus came to seek and save them that are lost.
Yes.
That's what Jesus came for. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus came for. Don't you know you are part of that? Because Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." That whosoever. Don't you know that you are a whosoever?
Thank you,
Lord. You know that? You're a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Glory to God. I'm asking you tonight, if you are an unbeliever, if you will believe on Jesus Christ, there's no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus. There's no other way to get to God the Father except through Jesus.
Yes.
If you try to go any other way, Jesus said, you're a thief and a robber.
Yes.
There is no other way. You can't get to God the Father but through Jesus the Son. And Jesus says you can't even get to the Father except he draw you. If you are an unbeliever and you're listening to this right now, he is drawing you. Don't take this for granted. If you're an unbeliever and you're listening right now, God is drawing you.
Yes.
If you have backslidden, you have fallen back into sin, you have turned your back on God, and now you're enjoying the pleasures of sin again. But you hear this tonight, God is drawing you back to himself. For he said, I'm married to the backslider. He's wooing you. He's calling you back in. He's calling you back in. Will you answer the call when you hear this message? Today is Monday, August the 6th, 2012. But you may be listening to this on a different date. Whatever day, whatever time that you're listening to this, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, through faith,
yes,
I offer you Jesus right now. I offer him to you right now. It's not hard. You don't have to run to a church building. You don't have to run to any big name pastor or anything like that. You can stop where you are and say, Father, I heard the word that this woman said on that broadcast. I heard the word. And I believe Jesus died for my sin. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe
yes,
it. I believe you raised him from the dead so that I might be set free. I believe you raised him from the dead so that my name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe you raised him from the dead.
Yes.
And now that when I die, I don't have to die and go to the lake of fire, but I can live eternally with you. I believe that. I believe that he was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. I believe that. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. I believe that. I believe I am healed from my transgressions and my iniquity. I believe that.
Thank
now,
you.
If you said all that, any of that, you believe this, then you're saved. You're born again. Now what you have to do is get a Bible and begin to study the Word of God. Not just read the Word, but begin to study the Word of God. I suggest people read the book of Romans. A lot of people suggest you begin with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read the Gospels. Also read the book of Romans, please. Read the book of Romans because the book of Romans will help you to understand who you are now. You're dead to sin but alive to God. Once you become a born-again person, a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. And now you're new. Think of yourself as that little caterpillar. Then he goes into the cocoon, and he stays in there for a season, and he comes out as a new creature, a butterfly. Only God can do that.
Yeah.
You might wonder, well, now I just said I accept Jesus Christ. How am I a new creature? Through faith, honey. Through faith.
Yeah.
Just begin to study the Word of God. Go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church.
Amen.
Where they preach and teach the truth. Ask God to give you the Holy Ghost. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost because that is your power. The Bible says, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill what the flesh wants to do, but do it by the Spirit. Ask God to give you the Holy Ghost. He'll give it to you. He won't withhold that from you because he knows you need it. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, until the Lord says different, we'll be on this broadcast. The phone number is 323-693-3054. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions about salvation, please do. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, call in and we will answer them for you as the Holy Spirit leads us. If you have any questions about, am I really saved, I'm still living this way, I'm still doing this, just call in. We'll pray with you. We will not judge you, but we will pray with you. And we will pray for you. You know why? Somebody did it for us.
Yeah.
I'm a living witness. I know somebody did it for me. I wouldn't be here today if they didn't. So I invite you to accept Jesus through faith, for it's by grace through faith that we are saved. We can't buy salvation. We can't work. We can never work enough to get salvation. So salvation is free for us. It cost Jesus his life, but he died and he rose again on the third day. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. He died on the third day. He died, but he rose on the third day. And now he sits in heaven on the right hand of the Father.
Hallelujah.
For you. For you. For me. Glory to God. I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, welcome to the family.
Amen.
Welcome to the family. So all I can say is welcome to the family. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Felicia for being on the line with us on tonight. And I want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat room on tonight. I thank God for the Word of God. But it's the Word of God that changes us. It's the Word of God that helps us. I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Now, if the Lord says so, we'll be back again on Wednesday. And we won't be reading out of Joyce Myers on Wednesday, but whatever the Lord gives us to speak about on Wednesday is okay with me. And then again on Friday, if the Lord says. And then Monday next week, we are scheduled to have a special guest on Monday. We shall see if that comes through fruition, but we believe God that it will.
Yeah.
We have a special guest on next Monday. All right, so praise God. Please pray for us. We will be having prayer, if the Lord says so, tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. And we do use 1-800, what is it, freeconferencecall.com. Anyway, the phone number for that, if you'd like to join us, then it's Pastor Felicia and myself, and some people usually call in, and my husband, he's on the line with us as well. And we pray at 6 a.m., and the number is 1-760-984-1000. And the participant code is 438-438-416. Amen. So if the Lord leads you to call in, please call in. We'll be praying for the President of the United States. We'll be praying for the fivefold ministry. We'll be praying for those that are on radio who are preaching and teaching the Word of God, and whatever else the Lord gives us to pray for. Of course, we'll be praying for souls to come out of darkness and come into the kingdom of light. So if you'd like to join us, please join us as we pray in the morning. All right, tomorrow I'll be resuming my regular work schedule, so I'll be leaving my home at 6:30 in the morning. However, I can call on my cell phone and listen to the prayer that way. Okay, so let's just pray, and I will be praying at 6 o'clock until 6:30, but Pastor Felicia will be on the line, and she can continue the prayer. So Jesus is Lord. But if you can, please join us at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. God bless you again. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to meeting with you again on Wednesday. The Lord says the same, August the 8th, 2012. God bless you. Have a good night.
Amen. God bless.
Out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give.